Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 14 November 2023. Joel.
Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 2. Joel 2. We have arrived at the turning point of the book of Joel. Joel 2, 18 to 27. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, as we witness the wheels coming off the wagon. We thank you, sir, that Jesus Christ controls history. And as we witness the apostasy and degeneracy of Client Nation USA, we thank you that Jesus Christ controls history. As we witness the satanic attack against Israel and the Ukraine, we thank you that Jesus Christ controls history. We thank you, sir, that you are in complete control and that your plan, as you have revealed in your word, is working out to the minutest detail. And we thank you that we have the privilege for one more day of freedom to assemble in a sound Bible teaching church such as this one, to fellowship with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Israel, my glory. This article is by Jim Showers, who is the executive director and president of the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. This is dealing with the World Economic Forum. And he starts out and he asks, are you familiar with the World Economic Forum, known as WEF? Whether you know the name or not, you certainly are feeling its effects as we witness the growing drive toward globalization and a one-world government. Globalization is the dream of those who believe that they can end war and economic inequality by joining all nations and people under a single, united, worldwide government that controls all aspects of life. Globalists believe History is the story of constant conflicts perpetuated by power-hungry aggressors with religious and political aspirations. While the ideal of ending war and inequality is appealing, the globalist path to world peace is totally evil and satanic. There's only one person, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He is the only one who will put an end to war. When the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, comes back at the second advent, then there will be world peace. Until then, God has declared in His Word there will be wars and rumors of wars until I return at the second advent. So the WEF, globalization, one world government, will never, ever produce world peace and will never provide equality among the people. That will only be accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. Globalization demands that each nation surrender its sovereignty and submit to the control of a worldwide government. The globalist agenda to unite all nations under one universal government involves two strategies. First of all, restrict all personal freedoms and rights. And secondly, eliminate nationalism. And the key to this plan involves securing central control of all economic activity by transferring private property to the state. The World Economic Forum exists to carry out these goals. It engages the foremost political, economic, and cultural leaders of society to shape global, regional, and industrial agendas. Founded in 1971 by Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum holds an annual summit in Davos, Switzerland. And there, it formulates strategies for the Great Reset. The Great Reset of Western society and the transformation of free people into servants of the government by taking away property rights and liberty. Shirk explains that the World Economic Forum's Great Reset plan intends to transform Western society by handcuffing free markets with economic regulation, concentrating power into the hands of a small international coalition, gaining control through crisis, and using fear to convince Westerners to surrender their freedom willingly. It seizes on crises such as climate change, health emergencies, and supply chain problems to further its agenda. Ultimately, globalization is mankind's godless solution. Man trying to solve man's problem without God. Godless solution to the world problems. Globalists see themselves as saviors who will rescue the world, and they totally reject the truth that the only way to obtain world peace and justice on earth is through Jesus Christ, and only through Jesus Christ. Globalist objectives align with Satan's future efforts to overthrow heaven and rule in the place of the Most High God over a kingdom on earth. To accomplish his goal, he must unite humanity under a single worldwide government with his man, the Antichrist, ruling the world from Jerusalem. Globalization demonstrates how readily man is falling in line with Satan's diabolical plan. However, the Bible tells us that Satan's one world system, it's a part of God's plan. It's all been laid out. It's all there in the Bible. It's all there. God's already set this all out. Man is in its rebellion against the living and true God. But that rebellion against God will be destroyed by Jesus Christ when he comes back at the second advent. The Bible tells us that Satan's one world system is a part of God's plan for the ages to fulfill all prophetic scripture and stamp out the rebellion of his creation. Revelation chapter 17. God will move the hearts of the world political leaders to surrender their authority to the Antichrist. Globalists believe they are working for the good of mankind, but in the end, they are working for Satan. They are joining Satan, and in doing so, they are also fulfilling the very plan of God. As we see globalists gain ground in their efforts to end liberty and take away personal rights, we recognize their handiwork as a prelude to the end times when God will judge the rebels and God will end mankind's rebellion against him. Our holy God will restore his creation to perfection and believers will enjoy eternity in his presence far from the threats of our broken world today. I read that and thought, wow, that is exactly where we are. You know, the rapture is signless and timeless. That's true. Nobody knows the date. But as Pastor Breckel always said to us at Bethany Bible Church, when the tree is cut and it's falling, you can see the shadow before it hits the ground. And that's the same way with where we're living right now. And what you are witnessing in the world today is the shadow before it hits the ground, the rapture. And the culmination, when that takes place, the church age is over. Now Satan shifts gears. And he has 7 years, the tribulation. The last 3.5 years, the great tribulation. That's when his man, the Antichrist, will come on the scene. But everything is being set up for a one world government right now. And they meet together, World Economic Forum, in Switzerland, every year. And they think they're saving the world. And they're simply Satan's man to carry out his plan. Well, Joel chapter 2, verses 18 to 27 is where we are right now. Joel is a great prophetic book, and it talks about the day of the Lord. And in Joel, we have great prophetic doctrine about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord deals with the tribulation period, the second advent of Jesus Christ, and the establishment of the millennial kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. All of that includes the day of the Lord. Sometimes the day of the Lord passage deals with the tribulation. Sometimes it deals with the second advent of Christ to the earth. Sometimes it deals with the millennial kingdom. Sometimes it deals with all that. But Joel, the theme of Joel is the day of the Lord. So we're at just started the turning point, Joel 2, 18 to 27. And this section marks a turning point in the argument of the book of Joel. It describes God's response to the nation's spiritual revival. What the righteousness of God demands, the justice of God executes. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. What the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. The righteousness of God accepts the spiritual revival of a nation, the repentance of client nation Israel, and restores great prosperity and blessing to them. In Joel 2, 19 to 27, that records the Lord's comforting words to his people following the spiritual revival. In Joel 2, verses 19 and 25, the economic disaster from the locust invasion is reversed, and now there is great economic prosperity in Israel. And then in verse 22, while there is a near fulfillment in verse 20, the military invasion of the Assyrians under Sennacherib is stopped by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he destroys 185,000 Assyrian military in one night, the emphasis on verse 20 is on the far fulfillment. And the far fulfillment is looking at the great tribulation and the invading army of the King of the North, which is Russia, allied with Iran, and by right now, as we speak, Russia and Iran are allies. And not only Russia and Iran, but they join with other Arabic nations as well. And their whole objective is to invade Israel and destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. And they are so powerful, no one on planet Earth can stop them. No one can stop them. The only person who can stop them is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, will defeat this army of the North in their invasion to Israel to destroy it. So in verse 20, the far fulfillment, the invading army of the King of the North in the tribulation is defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verses 21 to 27, following the second advent and defeat of all of the nations of the world and their rebellion against the living and true God, Jesus Christ, once that rebellion is put down, then Jesus Christ establishes his kingdom on earth. And then there will be world peace. Not by the World Economic Forum, not by a one world government, not by the Antichrist, but by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Then there will be world peace. Man will learn war no more. There won't even be any military. There won't be an army-navy game in the millennial kingdom. There won't be a who's going to win the trophy with an Air Force. What the hell happened to Air Force? My God. They start out, they are beating everybody up and down, and then they, I don't know, Army has one of the worst teams in the nation. And they lost to Army. But they've lost to Army 5 out of the last 7 years. So I was always pulling for, yeah, Air Force really got a great, Air Force sucks. And I like the military, I like the Air Force, I like Navy is, probably Navy could beat Air Force, I don't, the Navy's really bad. Geez, Army's won a cup 2 games in a row, and now who, you know, they think they're going to be in the national championship. But then in the millennial kingdom, there will be no Army-Navy game. There will be no Army. There will be no Navy. There will be no Air Force, no Marine Corps. There will be world peace. And there will be economic prosperity all over the world. You know, you hear the liberals always say they're, you know, they're going to provide all this. Well, there will be here in the millennial kingdom with Jesus Christ. Worldwide prosperity. So we have the blessings of the millennial kingdom are then described in verses 21 to 27. So we've exegeted the first verse 18 and verse 19, and we just barely got started in verse 20. Let's look at verse 18. The Lord was intensely jealous for his land, and he had compassion on his people. And the Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am going to keep on sending to you grain and new wine and new olive oil, and you will be completely satisfied with it. Now that's all in the near fulfillment. The last phrase in verse 19 is looking at the far fulfillment in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. And I will never again make you an object of reproach among the nations. God told Judah that he would not only remove the locust plague and deliver them from impending destruction, but he would never again make them a reproach among the nations. That last statement has not been fulfilled as of yet. Israel is still a reproach among the nations. To this very day, all over the world, the Jew has been hated and discriminated against by nations all over planet Earth, even before Joel's time, right up to the present moment. The ultimate fulfillment of that statement will be when Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent and establishes his kingdom on earth. So when will Israel's reproach from among the nations be removed? The reproach will be removed when the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the second advent and establishes his kingdom on earth. Prior to the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth, there will be a deliverance. A deliverance for Israel from the greatest invading army ever assembled in the world, the King of the North. And that's what we have in Joel 2, verse 20. The imagery in verse 20 changes from that of a locust invasion to a mighty army poised to come down on Israel. So although God did deliver Judah from the locust plague and from the Assyrians, Isaiah chapters 36 to 39, in answer to their repentance and grace prayer, this verse is looking toward a greater time of deliverance in the latter days, the great tribulation. So far in verse 20, we have exegeted this much. But I, the Lord, will cause the invader from the north, the northern army, to be removed far from you. And that's as far as we've gone. Now we go on. Now we see that the army of the king of the north will be destroyed, completely destroyed, between the Dead Sea on the east and the Mediterranean Sea on the west. Starts out, and we always start with the King James, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate. We have the conjunction vav, prefix of the hifil, perfect of the verb nadak, plus the preposition el with the noun eretz, plus the noun siya. That's not siya, but tsiya. The conjunction vav, prefix to the noun shemama. The vav is a conversive vav, converting the perfect tense of nadak into an imperfect. And the imperfect then looks forward. It's looking forward to the tribulation, when this prophecy will be fulfilled. And then we have the verb nadak. N-A-D-A-C-H. Nadak. A couple of things on this verb. First of all, in the cow stem, nadak means to impel, to thrust away, to banish. That's in the cow stem. To impel, to thrust away, to banish. Two, in the hifil stem, which is what we have, that's the causative stem of the Hebrew. It means to cause, to thrust out, to cause, to banish, to cause, to be driven out. Three, who is going to do the causing? The Lord Jesus Christ will perform the action of the verb, causing the invaders of the north, the northern army, to be driven out. The Lord Jesus Christ will perform the action of the verb, causing the invaders of the north, the northern army, to be driven out. There is no nation on the face of the earth that can stop this military invasion. Four, man will not stop the king of the north. Man cannot stop the king of the north. The Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, will stop this northern army. Man will not stop the king of the north. The Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, will stop this northern army. Five, this will be divine intervention for the protection and the deliverance of Israel. This will be divine intervention for the protection and the deliverance of Israel. So the corrected translation of that phrase, and I, the Lord Jesus Christ, I will cause it, the northern army, and it's a coalition, the northern army, to be driven. And then we have the preposition el, aleph, E-L. And L is a directional preposition. You translated to or into. And then we have the noun eretz, Aleph, E-R-E-T-S, eretz. Eretz is the Hebrew word for land. And then eretz is modified by tzia and shemama. Tzia. T-S-I-Y-Y. That's the doubling doggish. A-H. Tzia. And tzia means dryness. It means drought. It means a land of drought. It means a desert. And then we have, Eretz is also modified by shemama. S-H-V-A-M-A-M-A-H, shemama. And shemama means devastation, waste, and desolation. So the corrected translation is, and I, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, I will cause it, the northern army, the northern coalition, to be driven into a dry and desolate land. To be driven into a dry and desolate land. And then he goes on and says, with his face toward the east sea, this is how big this army is, this northern coalition. It's so huge, and nobody can stop them except Jesus Christ. And when he does stop them, the dead of this army will be all the way from the Dead Sea to the Mediterranean Sea. And it will take 7 months to bury the dead. 7 months. Jesus Christ will annihilate this army of the north. So it says, and I will cause it, the northern army, to be driven into a dry and desolate land with his face toward the east sea. We have the direct object marker F joined by a makef to the noun paneh with the third person singular masculine suffix plus the preposition L once again, joined by a makef to the noun yam with the definite article, and the adjective kadmoni with the definite article. The noun paneh looks like this. P-A-N-E-H. Paneh. Now literally, paneh is the Hebrew word for face. The third person singular masculine suffix is his, and it literally says his face. However, Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the Hebrew lexicon, and this was my master's thesis at Dallas Theological Seminary, indexing Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and I use it every time, every verse, every Old Testament book. It's great when you participate in and do a master's thesis that you will use for the rest of your life. And the index to Brown, Driver, and Briggs, I have used for the rest of my life. Every Old Testament book, again and again. I've used it so much, all the pages are falling out of it. They fall out of it. That's fine. That means I'm using it. And that means I can use Brown, Driver, and Briggs. And nobody uses it for a long time. Nobody used it because they can never find anything in it. Well, now you can find it, go right to it, and see what they have to say. And now the sad thing, you know the sad thing is today? There are no pastors in the country that even study from the Hebrew and the Greek anymore. Very, very rarely. Very, very rarely. And that's sad, because that's what's God-breathed. The original autographs, the Hebrew, the Aramaic, the Koine Greek, that's what's God-breathed. These translations are just translations. They're not God-breathed. Brown, Driver, and Briggs, on page 816, says that when pana is used in a military context, as it is in our verse, it describes an army, and it should be translated battlefront, the forward element, the forward troops. So pana in a military context describes an army, and it should be not his face, but the battlefront, forward element, forward troops. And then the preposition L is repeated, once again directional, telling us where the Lord Jesus Christ will drive the battlefront of this northern coalition. And it says, into the Yam. Y-A-M, that's the Hebrew word for sea. But which sea? And then we have the adjective modifying sea, Kadmoni. Kadmoni sounds like something that'd be good on pizza, doesn't it? When you put pepperoni, you might as well put Kadmoni on there too. Q-A-D-M-long-O-N-long-I. Kadmoni. And Kadmoni means eastern. Eastern. When Kadmoni is used with Yam, it means the eastern sea, and the eastern sea is the Dead Sea. So when the Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, destroys this northern coalition, the dead will be all the way from the Dead Sea to the west, the Mediterranean Sea. So far we have, and I will cause his battle front to be driven into the eastern sea, the Dead Sea. And then he goes on, and his hinder part, the King James said, and his hinder part, toward the utmost sea. We have the conjunction vav prefix to the noun sof with the third person singular masculine suffix plus the preposition el joined by a makef to the noun yam with a definite article plus the adjective acheron with the definite article. The vav, it means and, it introduces now the rear elements of the northern army. We have Soph. S-O, long O-P-H. Soph. And Soph means the end, the rear guard, the rear elements of the northern army. Once again, the preposition L is directional, telling us where the Lord Jesus Christ will destroy the rear elements of the northern army, L, into Yam, the sea. And this sea is modified by the adjective Acheron. Aleph. A-C-H-A-R, long O-N, Acheron. And Acheron means western. It means behind. It means western. When used with Yam in a military context, the western sea is the Mediterranean Sea. and his rear elements into the Western Sea, the Mediterranean Sea. This is how huge this military is, and no military on planet Earth can stop them. Only Jesus Christ. So, one, in the tribulation, an invincible army, invincible, an invincible army from the north will descend on Israel. The objective, to destroy Israel from the face of the earth. In the tribulation, an invincible army from the north will descend on Israel. Two, it can and it will be stopped by the Lord Jesus Christ and only by the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, what about America? I don't even think America's going to be here. The way we're going, we're like hit high speed to destroy ourselves. We're high speed to destroy ourselves. Forget about anything. We are destroying ourselves and this nation. And then you got all the liberals and socialists who hate anti-Semitism and hate Israel and blaming Israel for everything. And God says, I'll bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. We are coming under cursing from Jesus Christ, period, over and out. And we deserve it. And when it comes and it hits, we deserve everything that comes. We are destroying ourselves by our own bad decisions. And is there a hope? Well, we're still here now. It's the same hope that the southern kingdom had in Joel's day. Spiritual revival. Repent. The Hebrew word shuv. Turn back to God and His Word. If we turn back to God and His Word, we'll be delivered. If we don't turn back to God and His Word, we'll be destroyed. In Joel and Isaiah's day, they came that close to being destroyed. That close. But there was a spiritual revival and Jesus Christ delivered them. Well, same thing true now. I love America. Don't get me wrong. I love America. I love what that flag stands for. I love the freedoms we have. But you have worldwide organizations, the World Economic Forum, that want to destroy and take away all of your freedoms and make you a slave to the government, to the state, to a one world government. And they try to scare the hell out of you so that you'll give up your freedoms. Climate change. Oh, we're destroying the planet. You got to join. Give us your freedoms and we'll save the planet. Try to scare you into giving up your freedoms. COVID. Oh, pandemics. Oh, we're going to destroy ourselves with. Give up your freedoms and we'll save you. The Great Reset is in action right now. So it can and will be stopped by the Lord Jesus Christ and only by the Lord Jesus Christ. Three, the destruction of this great northern army will extend from the Dead Sea on the east all the way to the Mediterranean Sea on the west. The destruction of this great northern army will extend all the way from the Dead Sea on the east to the Mediterranean Sea on the west. And then, and his stench shall come up, not because they ate too many bean burritos. My grandchildren come in, I always ask, have you had dinner? Yes. Well, Sophie always has dinner before she gets here. But Hunter, I said, what's the best thing? What was the neatest thing you did in school today? I ate 5 bean burritos. I said, well, that is something to really be proud of. And then, and then they all know the song, beans, beans, musical fruit, you know. And his stench shall come up. I'll have to give this verse to Hunter. We have the cal perfect of the verb Allah with the vav conversive plus the noun ba'osh with the third person singular masculine suffix. Ba'osh. B'shava aleph O-S-H. Ba'osh. Couple of things. One, ba'osh, the noun ba'osh means stench. Literally, stench. Two, ba'osh is used in the scriptures to describe the stench of dead bodies. The stench of rotting corpses. It's used in the scriptures to describe the stench of dead bodies, the stench of rotting corpses. Three, Ba'osh tells us that this army, this coalition from the north, will not only be driven by God into the desert, all the way from the Dead Sea to the Mediterranean Sea, but God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will also destroy them there. So Ba'osh tells us that this coalition army from the north will not only be driven by the Lord Jesus Christ into the desert, all the way from the Dead Sea to the Mediterranean Sea, but the Lord Jesus Christ will also destroy them there. Four, the corpses of this great army will extend from the Dead Sea to the Mediterranean Sea. The corpses of this great army will extend from the Dead Sea to the Mediterranean Sea. Five, the stench of the rotting corpses will be greater than man has ever been confronted with in all of human history. The stench of the rotting corpses will be greater than man has ever been confronted with in all of human history. In fact, it will take 7 months to bury the dead. It will take 7 months to bury the dead. Now, this king of the north and a coalition, this army from the north, is described in Ezekiel chapter 38 and Ezekiel chapter 39. We're going to be looking at these chapters, but probably not get to that point tonight. But turn over to Ezekiel 39. Ezekiel chapter 39. Ezekiel 39. You see that if you look at, I don't know which Bible you have there, if you have the NIV, Ryrie Bible, at 38:17 to 39:29, we have the victory over Gog. That's the king of the north. Ezekiel 39, verse 11. On that day, I will give Gog a burial place in Israel, in the valley of those who travel east toward the sea. It will block the way of travelers because Gog and all his hordes, the entire military coalition, will be buried there. So it will be called the Valley of Hamon Gog. Verse 12. For seven months, the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. All the people of the land will bury them, and the day I am glorified will be a memorable day for them, declares the Sovereign Lord. So it will take 7 months to bury the dead. Ezekiel 39, verses 11 and 12. The third person singular masculine suffix, his, refers to the corpses of the northern army. The verb Allah looks like that in the Hebrew, I-N-A-L-A-H. Allah. It means to go up, to rise. It describes the natural phenomenon of stench rising off of a rotting corpse. The vav conversive converts the perfect tense into an imperfect tense, and the imperfect tense is first of all predictive, saying that this absolutely will occur in the future, in the tribulation. The imperfect tense also has linear action, Sartre. The stench of the northern army's corpses will keep on going up, will keep on rising for 7 months, the time it will take to bury the bodies. And his stench, the stench of the rotting corpses, will keep on going up, and his ill savor shall come up. This is the conjunction vav prefix to the cal imperfect of the verb Allah, plus the noun sakanah with the third person singular masculine suffix. Now this is a rare word, sakanah. T-S-A-C-H-A-N-A-H. Very rare Hebrew word. And you have to go to the cognate languages, which is Aramaic cognate language, Tsakanta. And Tsakanta means a stinking fluid or a foul smell. The third person singular masculine suffix, his, the foul smell of the dead, the rotting corpses of the northern army. Once again, the verb Allah keeps on going up, rising. The imperfect tense once again look forward to the tribulation and prophesies that this absolutely is going to occur. And the linear action start, this foul smell of the rotting corpses will keep on going up for 7 months until the bodies are buried. And his stench, the stench of the rotting corpses will keep on going up, and his foul smell will keep on rising. And then we have, because he hath done great things. We have the causal conjunction ki plus the cal infinitive construct of the verb asa plus the hifil perfect of the verb gadol. The causal conjunction ki, k long I, He is a causal conjunction. It should be correctly translated because. And one, he gives the cause or the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ destroyed this great northern army. He gives the cause or the reason why God destroyed this great northern army. And you see, the whole world is in rebellion against the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Satan has brought in the king of the north, the northern coalition with Iran and other nations, the kings of the east, China, the pan-Arabic bloc, kings of the south, the revived Roman Empire from the west, and they all assemble to destroy, invade Israel, and destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. A total rebellion against the living and true God, Jesus Christ. So, he gives us the cause or reason why the Lord Jesus Christ destroyed this great northern army. Two, their satanic and evil objective was to destroy Israel and every Jew from the face of the earth. Their satanic and evil objective was to destroy Israel and every Jew from the face of the earth. And if that is accomplished, Satan wins the angelic conflict. Three, their military advance on Israel was a great evil under the direction of Satan himself. Their military advance on Israel was a great evil under the direction of Satan himself. Four, and we have the phrase Higdil La'asoth. I'll put it up here. That's the Hifil perfect of Gadal plus Asa. It looks like this. This is starting. You go right to left in Hebrew, but this is H I G D long I L Higdil. And then La Asoth. Higdil La Asoth. And that means to do great things or to manufacture great things. To do great things or to manufacture great things. Five, in our verse, it means to do great things in a bad and evil way. To do great things in a bad and evil way. Six, asa means to manufacture something out of something. Asa means to manufacture something out of something. Seven, this army has manufactured war and destruction out of arrogance and evil from Satan's cosmic system. This army has manufactured war and destruction out of arrogance and evil from Satan's cosmic system. Eight, the Hifil stem is causative. The Hifil stem of Gadol is causative. They cause these great and evil things to be accomplished from a soul full of arrogance and rebellion against the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Hifil stem of Gadol is causative. They cause these great and evil things to be accomplished from a soul full of arrogance and rebellion against the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you can see verse 20 was a long verse. Now I want you to listen to this though. Corrected translation. But I, the Lord, will cause the invader from the north, the northern army, to be removed far from you, and I will cause it to be driven into a dry and desolate land, and I will cause his battle front to be driven into the eastern sea, the Dead Sea, and his rear elements into the western sea, the Mediterranean Sea, and his stench, the stench of rotting corpses, will keep on going up, and his foul smell will keep on rising, because he has manufactured great things, war and destruction against Israel out of arrogance and evil, his rebellion against the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a very powerful prophetic verse. I'll give it to you one more time. But I, the Lord, will cause the invader from the north, the northern army, to be removed far from you, and I will cause it to be driven into a dry and desolate land, and I will cause his battle front to be driven into the eastern sea, the Dead Sea, and his rear elements into the western sea, the Mediterranean Sea, and his stench, the stench of rotting corpses, will keep on going up, and his foul smell will keep on rising, because he has manufactured great things, war and destruction against Israel out of arrogance and evil. This is rebellion against the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. I wasn't sure I was going to get through verse 20, but I made it through. Did you make it through verse 20? Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. We thank you for the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. Thank you, sir, that you have laid out your plan very clear in your word. It's there for us to see, to learn, and to realize what is going on in the world at this time. And as we ask, sir, that these truths will become a source of great blessing in our own lives, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.